This podcast is intended for the purpose of connecting the Gen X plusers with the modern world of technology, health, lifestyle, and all things that will make the second half of life the better half. Welcome to Lawnmower in the Fast Lane. Welcome to Lawnmower in the Fast Lane, Fastlaners, where we ensure no person of a certain age is left behind. We're your hosts. I'm Michael Lee.
And I'm RB.
And thank you for joining us today. We're going to be discussing cell phones. Before we get too far, we want to give a couple little shout outs. First off, we want to thank Wealth Goddess for the review on our iTunes page, a podcast. She said, Michael Lee and RB's Gen X and Boomer perspectives are valuable. They're easy to listen and learn from. So we want to give a big shout out. Just know if you go and you do a review, doesn't matter if it's 5 stars, which we would prefer, of course, we will read those on the air.
Well, thank you very much for the review.
Absolutely. We're real appreciative of that. And it helps us out, of course, get more listeners.
Speaking of more listeners, Michael, you got any ideas on how we can maybe get some more?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have lots of different options. So everybody just remember, you can share, you get, tell your friends, listen, rate us, do all that. You can support us as well in different ways. So one of the ways you can do that is we have a new page set up on buyuscoffee.com. So we're under Lawn Fast Podcast, and you can go there and you can buy us a coffee, buy us a glass of wine for when we're podcasting. Anything you want. We'll take donations since, you know, we have a big fancy budget on this show. It's how we hire that investigative crew, our intern.
As we'd like to call them.
And we also have the option that you can go to our Anchor page, which is in our profiles. You can go to Anchor and there is a little button on there that you can click and you can donate to our podcast. So if you'd like to help us out, let us know. Otherwise, the best way to help us out on top of that is to click share, save, tell everybody about the podcast. The more listeners we have, the better. And of course, if you know anybody who has some topic ideas, we're always taking new ideas for topics.
And Michael, I just want to mention real quick that this money that we're asking for donations, that'll be spent on advertising and not to support my gambling habit.
Nope, or buying us coffee for the show.
Yeah.
Today, we thought it'd be pretty fun to talk about cell phones and cell phone technology.
Yoo-hoo!
The most obvious jump-off point would be to talk about phones. What do you know about cell phones?
Oh my goodness, cell phone. Where do I start? I know there's flip phones. I know there's phones. Plastic Motorola phones. I used to have one of those. There is a phone service for seniors.
There is.
They're very cheap. I think all you can do is call and use 911 on them. I shouldn't say all. I think you can get apps for some of their phones, but mostly, I think they're flip phones and things like that. You asked me a legitimate question, and I'm kind of skirting around it.
The phone that you're referring to is the Jitterbug phone.
That's good. Very good. Gosh, you're so smart. Your research crew is a lot sharper than mine. I usually have to wake mine up over here.
I think mine consists of two dogs that are sleeping next to me at the moment, so...
Well, they're hot dogs. They're smart. They're really on the prowl, I guess. Phones. I don't know much about phones. I know that every year technology changes and everything is smart now. Basically, a phone is more than a phone. We call it a phone, a cell phone, but it's a computer in your pocket. It's a pocket computer. That's about all I know about them. What do you know about phones?
So I got our research team to pull up some information for me. Got me some information from LifeWire. I decided to use some of this information. So it's an article on iPhone versus Android. So when you're looking at phones out there, there's basically two types. You're going to have an Android phone or an iPhone. So iPhone is exclusive to Apple. Most people know that, but not everybody. They only have the one type of phone in regards to, like, it's an iPhone. They have different versions of the iPhone, but They just have iPhones. Android's a little bit broader. Android is an operating system. And so Android could be your Samsung, your Nokia, your LG, all of those. Those would be operating as Android operating system, which is the computer system that makes your phone really work.
Very good. I like it. Good.
So I put together a few things that we may want to know. I thought maybe you'd start with you as a cell phone user. What type of phone do you have?
I do have an iPhone. I bought it from work my last day there. I bought my own phone, my old phone from them. And it's an iPhone 7. So it's super modern. It's sleek. It's got a sleek design. It fits in my pocket. It's probably the most high-tech device. I think it makes Porsches and Lincoln town cars look like, you know, something from the 10th century or something.
Fancier than a Tesla?
Fancier than a Tesla, yes.
I have an iPhone 12 Pro.
Holy cow, there's a lot of numbers between 7 and 12. You must be even more modern than me.
Mine's kind of like the, I don't know, it's like the iTrain of the future. I don't know if that's even a thing.
Starship, something from Star Trek, something that Captain Kirk would be carrying around, maybe?
Or Star Wars, yeah. Something Darth Vader would have flying through space. Yes, absolutely.
I think mine's more like something that the Flintstones would have had, but we're sort of on the same page in any case. So yeah.
Dabba dabba do. What drew you to, well, you said that you bought your iPhone through your old job that you retired from. Did you have a draw before that to a particular type of phone?
Not really. I took what my, you know, I worked where I worked. I had been there for, you know, decades. I got used to using the equipment that they supplied me. And so when they supplied me an iPhone and I knew how to use iPhones, I knew how to use my phone well, I mean, well enough to get by. And so there was no training involved. I just said, okay, I'll just take this here. I gave him $200 and I walked off with the phone.
I was converted to the iPhone by my husband and his friends. The whole thing that it started with is kind of a joke. As an iPhone user, when you text other iPhone users, which is done through what they call iMessage, which is kind of internally that uses Wi-Fi to send text messages, is a different color. So it's blue. A couple of friends said, I hate that when your phone comes through, it's in green because it messes up my colors and my text message groups. It does kind of tell you, oh boy, that somebody's using a different type of phone than mine. So it's a little judgy. But after that, I thought, well, maybe I'll get an iPhone and I'll check it out and see if I like it. And that was about 10 years ago.
Wow. So you're sold, I'm guessing. Or are you still trying to feel it out?
Definitely not feeling it out anymore. I'd have a really rough time going back to an Android at this stage.
Oh, really? Why?
Well, let me tell you about
it.
Did
you have a bad experience with Android?
Well, it's not that I had a bad experience. I just have found it's harder for me personally to use. I find it to be personally less streamlined. And there are a few other things. Part of what I got from this list kind of solidified my thought behind that. So some of the things, for instance, is security. It's a really big one for me. And if anybody's ever had the experience of getting locked out of their iPhone or any other Apple product, you know what I'm talking about. Security with the iPhone is through Apple, and Apple is very, very stringent. Like, you can't just go and reset your password necessarily. They want, like, you can, I mean, yes, you can reset it, but if you forget your password, you have to get a hold of Apple. They have to help you reset everything, and everything is tied together. You don't have security breaches as you would with an Android that's not quite as secure. People can try to break into your phone. I guess technically you're having an issue where, you know, you lose your phone. Someone could probably try to get into it, where Apple's like, nope, not going to happen. So that's one of the big reasons for me.
Mm, Okay.
Some of the other things this list that brought up, so the operating system was another big thing for me. Operating system with iPhone is a little quicker. Of course, as each new phone comes out, it's better and faster and all that. Android historically has a slower operating system. You may have more gaps in times from between, you know, going to an app, things of that sort. If, mm-hmm. you know, also it's harder to use multiple apps sometimes with Androids. The other thing is connecting with people that already have iPhones. So it's very streamlined with other iPhone users. There is the ability, for instance, pictures and photos, which are a huge, huge thing for me, is iPhone tends to have a better camera. They actually have one of the best cameras on the market for the newer phones.
I have heard
and,
that.
Yeah, it's really nice. You can actually set it and it will balance out. You could have a go into a place where it's really dark and it will lighten the picture enough where you can actually see. Not quite like it used to be on some phones where you take a picture and you're like, well, I see glowing eyeballs and that's it. So that's a big thing for me. And then when you do have the photos, you can actually share them with other iPhone users in a shared photo album. A couple other things that's kind of nice is it streams across all your platforms. So for instance, I have a MacBook that I got through to start with school, as well as an iPad and an Apple Watch. So everything is streamlined through it all. When I'm using one, I can use the other. So if, for instance, when you're on an Android phone, you don't really have the ability, like if you're on a phone for your Android, but then you're using your laptop, they're two different things. With Apple, the message can come through any of my products.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
And then there's one other thing in there that pops in my head in regards to sharing is there's also AirDrop, which is a really neat thing with iPhones where I've done it when I'm trying to share a picture with somebody and sometimes it's easier. I'll just hit the AirDrop button and it literally just goes and it connects. With AirDrops, also AirPlay, which is a great feature, especially after this last week's episode in regards to streaming TV, where you can connect on through Wi-Fi through a streaming device right from your phone to a TV, to a smart TV. And that's nice if, say, you're showing a photo album to somebody or you're like, oh, I need to show you this video, and you can connect it to your TV and you can watch it up on the TV and it's really seamless.
Interesting. So if you had Hulu on your phone, you could just show it on the TV.
You could do that. Yeah, absolutely.
YouTube or something. Yeah. Huh.
I've used it with YouTube before. And then, for instance, when we started working on buying our house, we wanted to show people the video, and being on a little iPhone was hard. So we would go to friends' house and be like, oh, do you have a smart TV? And then AirPlay it and you can see the video right on their TV.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, technology's amazing. I mean, just to stop for a second, think about what you can do with your telephone.
It's crazy.
It's just amazing. It used to be tethered to the wall in my day. You could only walk 6 feet away holding the phone, and then you couldn't go any farther. In any case, yeah, that's neat. That's
I know. I love watching the one that always struck me the most is watching old Roseanne episodes. Has anybody talked to Becky? No, we can't find her anywhere. And I'm like, just get the that's right. You know, and they had that big giant cord that like wrapped around the whole house, and
yeah,
you know, it's, and they wrap themselves up in it.
Yeah, we used to have one of those at my house when I was.
Well, yeah, it's really crazy to think, you know, that you are accessible wherever you're at. There are, though, some things with Android that, of course, there's pluses. Some of the things in my research that I found, for instance, and this can be a big thing, as somebody who is a huge horror movie fan, one of the worst case scenarios, driving down a dark road, all of a sudden your car just for some reason just stops. What do? You grab your phone. Oh, wait, the battery died. Probably because you had an iPhone, because they drain faster than Androids. So Androids do tend to drain. They have less battery on.
Yeah, that does happen. I don't know if that's because their operating system is getting more complex over time and using more memory or battery, or if it's syncing. But yeah, they do. They do. You know, they're great when you first buy them, but over time, the battery life just goes shorter and shorter.
That's, yeah. And I think part of it does have to do with that. So iPhone does have a massive amount of storage in their phone, huge amount of storage. And I do think that that can sometimes slow your phone down because you've got so many things all happening on your phone. Whereas with the Android, they don't have quite the same storage, but they have SD cards. You can get an SD card and that's your storage system.
So you just buy a certain card depending on how much storage you want.
Exactly.
You start running short, you just get a bigger card.
The other perk is in the same scenario out in the middle of the woods, car shuts down, you need to plug your phone in, but you don't have the right kind of cord. Android phones do have the USB, and USB is everywhere. And sometimes trying to navigate around, you know, a computer, like how to plug in my iPhone, you need certain cords. And it's very, like, the more the iPhones have gotten popular, it's harder to just find a quick little plug-in for it because they don't all work exactly the same. Let's see. Of course, there is another massive thing, which is cost. So Android phones on the whole are less expensive. I think you might have had some numbers for that, right? Like generic numbers?
Yeah, I mean, basically, I just got that you can get phones from anywhere from $20 to $1,400 is sort of what I have on that. I mean, I could go a little deeper, but basically, that's it. I'm curious, though, like with, I mean, there is a big price difference. Apple generally is more expensive. It's kind of the big daddy on the block. And anyone that, you know, people that where money doesn't matter, those are the people that usually have iPhones like you and your husband. And then I think the blue collar people of the world are more Android sort of centered. But the question I have is, or my thoughts are, if a high-end Apple iPhone 12 Pro Max is $1,200 to $1,400, can I buy a lesser phone? I mean, is that all I have up in a 2021 version? Can I buy like an $800 phone or a $500 phone that doesn't have as many bells and whistles? Or is that the only phone they're selling right now?
So the thing that happens a lot with Apple is they do slowly get rid of the older models. They do have, you know, the last couple models, and you can usually get deals, you know, a little bit less expensive with them. The tricky part is that Apple is very strict about their cost. Most places are going to be the same price. You can get one that's less expensive. Sometimes the best thing to do, though, is to look for a used phone. So going to eBay, something like that. Now, as a seller, the iPhone does hold its worth. You can get a good amount of money back on it, not the $1,400, obviously. You can resell it and then people can buy it for much cheaper. So you may say, oh, I can get an iPhone 12 Pro for, you know, $700 or, you know, $800, depending on where someone's selling it. That's one way to do it. Another thing a lot of people do, and that's what we do at the same thing too, is we actually, through our cell phone company, we just get on a payment plan. So we just pay, you know, a certain amount every month. So we're not going walking in and spending $1,400.
I guess what I'm getting at, and I think you've answered, is they only have one model every year. They just have one model. It's the 12 Pro. They don't have, right. They don't have like three models, a low end, a medium, and a high end model. They just have one model. I'm guessing Android or Samsung, for instance, I'm just pulling this one out of the air, but Samsung probably has different models. I don't know.
They do. I mean, that's when you walk into, if you walk into a cell phone store, it's kind of interesting. You see the Apple wall and there's like six phones. And it's like the iPhone, you know, it's different sizes. So there's the iPhone 12 Pro, iPhone 12 Max, iPhone 12 Mini or whatever. There's like six phones on one side by Apple, right? Then you go over to the other wall and there's a slew of different phones all along the wall. And it's because it just depends on which brand you want, the experience you want as well. And that's where you really got to figure out what's important to you what's going to make you the happiest. There are certain aspects to each one that work better for you. And I think it's really sitting down and saying, okay, what's really important to me? Mm-hmm. Do I need to have Siri? You don't necessarily have to have Siri, which, you know, they'll answer questions for you. It's like a assistant, intelligent support. Google has their own version of it. It's just different. Are you so security conscious that you don't want anybody to have access and you need to make sure everything's tied up neat? It's really sitting down and it was writing down what's going to work. And do you care? Like, are you only making calls out? Are you playing games? What is the thing that you're using it for? I did pull up a little bit of information on, you know, how a lot of people are now using their phones. And it's per day in hours and minutes. And it says here, you know, on the average per day that people are using about six times as much on apps as a browser. So using the web browser, which is like your Google or Safari, or are you using more apps or just the browser? I know, like, my mom, she doesn't play games. She uses it for mostly social media, looking things up online. Maybe iPhone is not the best route for her. My mother-in-law, I know that she didn't think that she was going to like iPhone, and now she has it and she just loves it.
So I think the key word you just used a second ago is the experience you're looking for. Experience.
Yeah.
Your own personal individual experience. I think that's how people should approach their cell phone needs, is what experience they're looking for. And I also think we're talking about different generations. You just gave some statistics on apps versus search engines. And I don't know, I'm guessing that statistic isn't the same for people 60 and older than it is for, as it is for people 25 and younger, for instance. I think that those statistics are completely different for different age groups or different generations. Just think that's something to keep in mind.
I would agree. I think you notice it too, for instance, when people of a certain age, they call, they don't text, they don't do all these other things. And so I think that does make a huge difference. You know, I think the integration can be different for that purpose as well, because if you're just calling, hey, my grandparents would have never thought to text. My mom, she texts a lot. We text back and forth. That's another thing that is a little bit different integration-wise that iPhone does have going for itself is FaceTime. So FaceTime is an easy way to access, you know, it's literally like when you call somebody, you have the option to hit call or you can hit FaceTime. And boom, the person pops up and you're like, hey, look at us talking. If you're not on an iPhone, the experience tends to be a little different because you're having to figure out how are we going to navigate being able to do this. So you have to get an app like Marco Polo, which is you say something and then later they say something and you go back and forth, or you get Zoom or Skype or one of the other services. From my own experience, sometimes there is not as clear service because iPhone specifically has it as part of their system. So FaceTime is very clear most of the time. It has a lot of, you know, boops and beeps. But if you're like my parents and you're not going to feel like FaceTiming all the time, maybe it's just easier to Skype or use another app that makes it easier that way.
I suspect there's apps out there that you could find that'll work for you. I don't know them. I'm kind of not an app person. Again, that's going to be a generational thing, but yeah, I think you're on the right track there, though.
This article that I referenced here, which I'll put into our show notes from LifeWire, after they compared everything, all the experience, the security costs, they did say at the end that they felt that iPhone was a better phone for a better experience. The funny part about that, though, is mostly they believe due to a price difference, Android is cheaper. So globally, they have 2 billion Android phones comparatively to 1 billion iPhones. And a lot of what they compared it really to really was the price difference.
Yeah, that's interesting. When you're talking global, a couple of things. I went to Nicaragua a while back, which is, you know, they have a real simple lifestyle down there. But one thing I noticed is everyone had a cell phone. Everyone. They were our old cell phones that we no longer use in the U.S. And so I think there's a secondary market for cell phones that we kind of pawn off on maybe some, I don't want to say third world, but just groups of people that don't have access to all the new stuff. That statistic you just gave, a billion versus 2 billion, and iPhone versus Android. I wonder if just more Androids aren't being made and kind of distributed around the world. I'm thinking China. They've got to have a huge cell phone population, and I don't know if Android, like Samsung, for instance, sounds Asian to me. I suspect they are. Apple, even though they're probably made over there, that sounds like kind of more of an American product. I'm not sure, but maybe all those kind of things come into play to get those stats. I'm not sure, but there's big numbers.
When you're looking at an iPhone, you have an iPhone. Like, that's what you have. Like, there's not, like, you don't have a lot of choice on design or anything like that. Whereas with an Android, one of the perks is that you can choose the phone that fits you. So if you want one that has a flip keyboard, if you want one that, you know, isn't a flip phone, but is this size and this one's this big and this one, I would think too, like, you may just look at a phone and go, well, that's the style I want. Like, that one fits me better than a sleek iPhone, because definitely iPhones have their own specific look.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Yeah. Yeah.
More variety out there.
They like to have their own individual style, I guess.
That being said, we kind of can move on then.
We have phones. What kind of apps do we want to put on them?
I got my research team together and I said, I really need you to figure out what the top 10 most popular apps currently are. And they found some great research on NerdWallet, which I really think at this point we should be having as a sponsor, because we utilize them a lot.
We do. Yes. Okay.
I'll just go off of real quick what I found were the top 10 apps, and we'll see what you found.
Yeah.
Do a little comparison.
Yeah.
So the top 10 apps I had was Uber, which makes sense because they do food delivery and they take people places. Instagram, which we're on. That's right. Lawnmower in the Fast Lane, Instagram. TikTok, which we're also on. Lawnmower in the Fast Lane, TikTok. These are great because they're for the social media. So it really, you know, keeps people connected and has some entertainment value. Airbnb kind of surprised me in COVID times, but I think people are trying to get out and travel, but they, you know, don't want to stay in hotels. So
yeah, that surprises me too, Airbnb. Maybe people are just trying to plan parties for Saturday nights.
There you go. After that was Netflix, which makes a lot of sense, being at home and watching movies. Amazon, of course. YouTube, which, you know, we talked about that in a previous episode. Dropbox, which is another way that you can download files and media and then share them. And that actually makes a lot of sense in the business world right now. People are on Skype. They're trying to do things, you know, remotely. Spotify, because you got to have your tunes. And then WhatsApp, which is an app that is very, you can use internationally, and through using Wi-Fi, there's no charge for it. So you're not getting international dings when you text back and forth. So that would make sense as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last two, which were honorable mentions, one was Seamless, which I had never heard of, which is a food ordering app that kind of combines all the other food ordering apps. And then Pocket Casts, which is a place where you can listen to podcasts.
What kind of podcast would you listen to on that?
You know, I personally would probably check out Lawnmower in the Fast Lane.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah, I heard that it's a podcast for people of a certain age that don't want to be left behind.
It's a great thing to listen to while you're cleaning the house or driving to work or driving to the store or just sitting there looking for something to listen to.
Going for a dog walk?
Yes, right. I like it. Working out. Would you like to hear my 10? So first of all, a couple of things. I'm just jumping about. Are you done?
That's my top 10.
Michael, I did not hear you say Facebook. Is it not popular anymore?
You know, I was kind of surprised by that. Every top 10 list I found, Facebook was not at the top. it was Instagram, it was TikTok, were the two big ones. Twitter was even higher than Facebook. I think that Instagram is becoming more popular because people can post things. It's not, it doesn't tend to be quite as political. It doesn't tend to be quite as controversial. People are just wanting a little bit of laugh entertainment or see what people are up to.
Maybe people already have Facebook on their phone and so they're not downloading it. I know you're an Instagram guy.
I am.
People my age, and remember, we're just about a full generation apart. My peeps are Facebook people. So again, I just find that whenever we're talking about technology, I think age is a factor in some ways. And I think TikTok, I bet that's the hot one for 30-year-olds. They probably watch more TikTok than they do Instagram or Facebook, is a guess anyway. Maybe not. I don't know.
I do know that the BBC had an article that came out that said that TikTok was the world's most downloaded app of 2020. It took the top spot from Facebook Messenger. I was trying to see if it told me how many downloads, but I'm not able to find that specific number. I think it exploded because COVID and people wanting to just do something that's really lighthearted. I will tell you though, if you decide to get on TikTok, you may be on there and you're going to just watch a video. And next thing you know, you look at the clock, you think 10 videos and it's 2 hours later.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. And a lot of those are, you know, Facebook used to be like that when it was the only game in town. I happen to also have a couple of apps to put on your phone here. This is just a list that Jody got me of just 10 apps to put on your phone. And I don't think it's numbered. I don't think these are the hottest apps or anything. She got them probably on NerdWallet, I guess. Number one she gave me is a podcast, Pocket Cast, and that's to listen to podcasts. Dark Sky, which is a weather reporting app, and I've used it. My friend uses it, and we swear by it. Next is a password securing app. For you store all your passwords in it and they're secure. And so you have those. Instagram was one of them, which you've already mentioned. A Google messaging app, which you've mentioned. A voice recorder, so you can record messages to yourself. Waze or Google Maps, a directional app for getting around. Oh, one thing I noticed on your list, you mentioned Uber, but no Lyft. And I wasn't sure about that. Google Search, which everyone probably has, or a lot of people have. Nova Launcher, which is a customizable screen tool. You can customize your phone screen to have pictures of your favorite people or animals on there. A Google Drive, which from our previous Google episode, listeners have probably already set up and know to use Google Drive for all your iPhone, computer, cloud, iPad storage, and picture storage, and all your stuff. And then the final one is a foreign language translator, which is iTranslate, and I happen to have that one, and that is a great, I use that, and I think it's a good app. So those are the ones I had. They're a little more utilitarian, not quite as social media or fun. But these are some more apps that you're going to want to think about putting on your phone just to kind of keep your act together in a way.
I kind of got the sense with this list that it seems more more Android centric. Yeah.
Oh, maybe.
And the only reason I think that is, for instance, the password, the secure digital wallet, iPhone already has that integrated into their settings. So they have a section where you can go and look at your passwords. But it also will save it into this is that integration with Apple where you can save your passwords and it will save it across all of your Apple platforms.
Oh.
So, but if you're like, oh, I forgot what that is, you can go into your passwords and it will show you. The auto recorder is something that you can do automatically through iPhone. You know, there's a little drop down and you can do either voice recording or you can do video recording of a screenshot from your phone, which is kind of fun. Done that a couple times.
Right.
And then the customizable screen is something that I'm going to say Apple just recently came out with this new like iPhone 12s. I'm going to be honest and tell you, I have no clue how to use it. So for people who think, oh, Michael's all up to date and knows everything, I have no clue how it works. I've watched all these videos and I'm like, I'm just going to keep my little picture of my dogs and I'm good to go. I think this that these are great things, though. I mean, you could still probably download these all to an iPhone if you didn't want to try to find them the other way.
Okay, so we've got our phones taken care of. We bought a phone. What word did you use? Utility?
Yes.
We bought a phone based on our utility. We've loaded it full of apps based on what we think we are going to fit our needs best. Now, how about some phone plans?
You know, the first thing will be figuring out where you're going to get a phone plan.
Well, Michael, just between you and me, first thing I would do is go to NerdWallet.
I really think we need to get them to sponsor us. I got to start tagging them in every single thing, because for those listening in our audience, I like to try to find as much information as possible. And every time our research team is looking up this information,
right,
they tend to keep coming across NerdWallet. I didn't know NerdWallet was a thing until I started this podcast. So
maybe they have an app we can just download on our desktop and just go directly to NerdWallet in the future for all of our...
I will be looking up NerdWallet apps later today.
Well, I'm just going to jump in here. My research team, which is Henry and Pepino, they found three different plans for seniors. This was from 2020. So it's a year old, but it's probably still fairly relevant. T-Mobile, for $3 a month, you have basic talk, texts, and 100 megabytes per month. The best flexible plan for seniors is Ting, T-I-N-G, at $6 a month, and you pay for your usage. It's only for what you use. So you can, you know, if you have a low month where you don't do anything, then you don't pay more than $6. And then the best plan for people, seniors, and I'm not sure what a senior is. I don't know what the definition of these seniors is from the NerdWallet best sell plans for seniors. But Boost Mobile, for $50 a month, you have unlimited data, talk, text, and that's for a single line. Those are the three best plans that NerdWallet can come up with.
I'm guessing, just from research, that it's not official, but I believe in most cases it's 55 and over.
That means, oh, you're not there yet. I'm sorry. You're not 54. Well, how do you prove it? Maybe you fake. So maybe you can pay to get a fake ID that says you're 55 years old, and it'll offset the what you pay for that will offset the cost of the savings you'll get from a senior plan.
That's a good question. Good thinking there. I feel okay with the plan that I have. So we actually, on our end of things, we're on a family plan. It works really well, I think, if you are part of a family. Those plans you gave are great plans. I think that, you know, I didn't know that those even existed out there. I also know that you're really feeling tight for plans. There is also government programs if you really need a phone and you can't afford it. There are a few plans out there called, I know that there's a federal lifeline plan for seniors as well as, you know, low income. But I know for us, it works really well having a family plan. So a lot of the family plans that I found kind of have a range, anywhere from $90 to $240, and most up to four lines. It's another option, and you know, you just share your data. Most of these plans, you have unlimited text and unlimited phone calls. It just depends on what you want. I mean, it really does. That's the maximum at the far, far end of things. There's so much in the middle there that you can get.
Yeah, and I've seen a lot of plans. They have more than four people, too. You can add up to six people, or I don't know. Did I see eight people somewhere in some of those plans?
Well, some of these plans also, you know, have kid plans in there. Sometimes you can add just a line for $10. It just depends. There is worth doing research. We have, you know, family plan, and when people are just like, I really want to find a new phone plan because mine's so expensive. Kind of like we learned in our streaming episode, our cutting the cord episode. Sometimes just talking to somebody and get in there doesn't mean they have to be a family member, you know. And if I was not with my spouse, I would be probably getting a bundle with my mom. And I think my mom is bundled with her and my two brothers. So you can bundle these up for family plans too, if you're looking for trying to save some bucks.
Yeah, and just Jay, I wanted to clarify, you're mentioning family plans, but I think they're called family and friends. I think it's okay to have multiple people. It's not like you're sneaking around finding loopholes or anything. I think they just are looking for groups of people to buy these packages, and they're saving money by doing it.
The ones that you mentioned are good because they are pay as you go, and those senior plans you mentioned. The good part with those, which is the advantage possibly for some people, is when you're with a larger company, you do get locked into usually a contract. So you're in a contract for a year. It doesn't mean like if you leave in a family plan, someone else can't take over, but you are locked into that. The plans you mentioned, they are pay as you go. So you could just pay for a month and you're done.
Well, those are some good plans. I do know that some of these big companies offer more than just phones too. They offer streaming, free streaming. T-Mobile offers streaming, Sprint, Verizon, Metro by T-Mobile, AT&T, Cricket Wireless. They also offer, well, you're a Verizon person. You have Verizon, you get the Disney bundle, you get a year of Discovery, and you get AMC, I think, an Apple Arcade.
You can even get, there's an Apple Fitness, Apple TV in some cases for a year free. So yeah, there's some big perks with some of the companies.
Yeah, all of these companies I just mentioned, they offer Sam's Club memberships, HBO Max, Hulu for free. So those are things you want to look at. Just this week, our streaming television podcast came out, and it tells you how to cut the cord, get away from cable TV or Dish TV, and pick up streaming TV. And lo and behold, the next week,
talking about cell phone plans and free streaming.
Exactly. See how convenient that is?
I wish we had actually planned that ahead of time.
That's kind of interesting to look into anyway. Again, like you say, it all depends on what it is you want. As long as you're willing to pay for it, you can get anything you want.
When you are looking at those plans, another thing just to think about, also checking for discounts. I would talk about in the Cutting the Cord episode where I would call up cable company and say, cut my cord. And they say, well, let's give you this discount. Let's give this discount. Cell phones work the same way. The thing is, you have to kind of ask. Always check and see if they have any student discounts. There's always something available with certain companies for student discounts. Also ask for an AARP discount. See if they have one. You know, my mom, we were at the movie theater one time. It wasn't for a cell phone, but we went up to go to the concession stand at the movie theater, and she said, do you do an AARP discount? And they said, yeah, we do. So you know, you never know. There are AARP discounts from a lot of the cell phone companies when I was doing some of my research. The other thing just to ask, and it doesn't hurt, the worst thing that people could say is no, is do you have any activation fee waived? Because that sometimes can be $30 to $60. What kind of discount do you have for federal employees? State employees,
veterans,
yes. Any organization you may belong to may have that as an option. I know, you know, I work at a pretty big medical facility, and if you go through certain phone companies, they have discounts. And I know the state does sometimes, 911 centers do. Sometimes there's ones, like you said, for veterans or police dispatchers. So it's worth checking out and asking, because they're not going to normally offer that information up.
I really think that's something that our listeners need to do.
Do we have anything else that we wanted to talk about?
I think we hit all the high marks. I don't know. How do you feel about it?
I feel pretty good. So what are your final thoughts on cell phones?
My takeaways are kind of like we had in our recently broadcast Cutting the Cord episode. My number one takeaway is to use family and friend services. Since they're available, you should just use them, take advantage of them. Find people, get on plans, and just save money. Number two is one you just brought up. Ask for discounts. Find discounts, ask for discounts, get discounts. It's hard for me personally to commit to contracts. Not that I don't do it, but I think if you can avoid a contract and use a month-to-month service, I think that's worth looking into also. Those are my three takeaways. Michael, how about yourself?
I love doing the research. I feel still strong in my own opinions that for security purposes, for ease of use, phone-wise, I am an iPhone fan probably for life. I feel, though, it's really worth sitting down and writing out, rather than just kind of visualizing, but writing down what's important when you're getting a phone and finding a plan. You know, is it important to have a lot of media? Is it really important to that you just make calls and be able to text? One thing I like to always remind people is it is a very different era than a lot of us grew up in. It's very different than when we were younger. You know, there's the cell phones in most cases, almost all cell phones are not pay by the minute, pay by the hour, call only during certain hours. It's your access and lifeline to the world. And so it is a serious commitment, but also have some fun and find what makes you want to be having this particular phone. You know, is it that you only phone and text? Are you wanting one that has FaceTime so you can chat with your family? Just figure that part out. Once you have that written down, go and have fun. Shop for a really great phone. Find a really great plan. Talk to your family. Talk to your friends. Get their feedback as well, because maybe they might tap into something that we weren't even aware of. Find what works for you the best. So that's what I have. But thank you once again, all you fast laners, for listening to our podcast, which Lawnmower in the Fast Lane, obviously. And once again, we thank you very much. Feel free to reach out to us through social media. Don't be scared to email us. Rate, review us. Just remember, the more ratings and the reviews and plays and shares that we get, the more people that get to have access to our wonderful content. Once again, also know you can go to Anchor. You can donate to our podcast in order to spread the word. You can also go to the buy us a coffee. And that's at Lawn Fast Podcast. And once again, we really appreciate everybody that listens more than you know. And have a great rest of your week.
You have just experienced another Lawnmower in the Fast Lane podcast, which means it's now time for a brand new segment of This and That. Michael Lee and I will now talk about events or thoughts from this past week. What do you got for us, Michael?
Yes, I have something that's been going on in my life. I recently had a surgery about 7 weeks ago. I've learned a really incredible lesson over the last several weeks about taking care of yourself, listening to your body, and not pushing your limits. And I think it was a big, big kind of wake up for me to know you really have to listen to your body. And, you know, I read all these things about after surgery, what you can do, what you can't do, reading all these everywhere, and people are just, you know, after 2 weeks, you'll be back up and running, and other people saying, no, you'll be 4 weeks, and I'm at 7 weeks, and I'm just now getting up and going. And I think a lot of that is because I really did listen to my body and did not push it and took the time to nurture it, ensure that I was not going to have a repeat of this surgery again. I think it's real important sometimes listening to our bodies, whether that be spiritual, mental, physical. And I think our bodies do tell us things. You know, I think when we get sick, sometimes that really is our body's way of saying, you need to just stop and take a moment, get better. You need to do this. So my whole thought in the last couple of weeks has really been, I've been thinking a lot about listening to your body and knowing your limits. Sometimes it's just saying, I'm going to go to bed a couple hours early because I literally cannot be awake, or taking an extra nap here or there, or just saying, I'm going to read a book and not turn the TV on, or I'm going to turn my phone off for an hour. I've had some good moments where I just literally turned my phone off and meditated or took time to not have any connection, but also listening to your body physically as well, knowing that sometimes you have to ask people to do things, and that's a tough thing for somebody like me. Can you lift that thing for me? Because it weighs over 10 pounds. So I think that's my focus this week. I've really been thinking a lot about that. Just listening to our bodies, take a moment to stop and just listen to what your body's saying and where you feel things in it. And maybe your body's trying to tell you something that you're not aware of. So that's what I'm at. What about you, RB? What do you have?
Well, first of all, I want to say that's good. I like that. I think in this crazy, fast-paced world we all live in, where we've got things on our mind all the time, it's hard, sometimes hard to listen to ourselves. So I think that's a good thing to concentrate on. Me, Michael, you want to know what I'm thinking?
Yeah.
I want to let everyone, all of our listeners out there, to know that we PWWP, that's right, we practice what we preach. And I have been, because of our previous episode on photo storage, I have been storing photos like a madman for about the last month, it seems like. I've had photos on CDs, SD cards, memory sticks. I have them on my PC. I have them on my iPad. I have them on my iPhone. And they're all going to Google Photos. And it's a big job. I just want everyone to know that if you're thinking about it, I recommend it. But be careful. There are a couple of issues that I ran into. I just want to bring up real quick. First thing I did was try and migrate photos from my PC to Google Photos. I set everything up. I turned off all the screensaver and power down devices on my PC. I had about 1,500 photos, which takes a while to upload. And I just let it go. And I closed the door. I turned the lights off and I let the photos upload while I was in bed. And I thought, when I'm going to get up in the morning, everything will be great. It'll all be done. And lo and behold, as it turns out, Microsoft sent an update at midnight, and then they restarted my computer for me and it shut off my upload. And when I got up in the morning and I looked at my computer, only a portion of my 1,500 photos had uploaded before the computer got restarted. You know, that was an issue, but I was going to work through it. And then I discovered that Google Photos does not look for duplicate photos. And there's no software out there that works with Google Photos that'll look for duplicate photos for the moment, as it turns out. So what I ended up doing, and I don't know where it shut off, because Google Photos does not count your photos either. So it's not easy to say it went off at 842 photos. I just had to re-upload all 1,500 photos. And what that ends up doing uses more of the memory space, of my free memory space. And so it got me over my free 15 gigabytes quicker than I was hoping for it to happen. So I ended up having to buy new additional memory, which is fine. I figured I'd have to anyway, but I kind of wanted to see how close I could get, how many photos I could store before I needed to buy that. And I didn't get an opportunity to do that. So that's something that you need to be aware of if you're going to be going that route. And then while I'm at it, and I have all this memory that I've purchased, I decided Google Cloud, I'm going to be adding music and I'm going to be adding my important documents to it. I'm just going to be putting everything on the Google Cloud. And then when that's done, I'm going to sync it up with my external hard drive here at home. And once every 6 months, I'm just going to update all that stuff. And hopefully I'll have a working system. And I will say, at the end of the day, I'm really happy that I have all of my stuff, at least my photos, organized in one spot. I don't have to worry about a fire taking place or a computer crashing or whatever can happen these days. I think I'm safe, at least with my photos and some of my documents. And hopefully in the next month or so, I can really put this whole thing together and have it all nice and organized and ready to take on the next 20 years of photo and documents and music storage. There you go. That's what I'm thinking.
Real quick, just to ask if it's okay.
Yeah.
So when you say that you're putting them all on your computer, are you scanning them in? Are you Or are they ones already digital, or how are you doing that?
But on my computer?
Yeah.
You mean, well, no, I'm migrating from my computer, my phone, my iPad, CDs, SD cards, everything is going to the cloud. To
Google. So this is all the digital pictures you have.
These are digital. Yeah. And that's a good point. I still have, I was just looking at the two boxes I have of paper photos or physical photos. I've probably got another 2000 photos that I need to somehow digitize and get them on there. As it is right now, where I'm at, of course, I have duplicates, which I just started out. I have 100 megabytes I'm paying for, and I've used 25 of those for photos only. So I've got a lot of photos and I got a lot more to go.
That's really exciting. It's nice to probably get everything done and organized and in the cloud.
It is. It is. Of course, it'll take me the rest of my life to get rid of the duplicates and develop. I kind of want to start. I've started, and it's actually really easy to work with, which you had mentioned the Google Photos, but I'm making albums and, you know, putting all our pets in albums and my family and my wife's family and stuff. And so, you know, I got a ways to go, but there's a start and I can see light at the end of the tunnel at this point, as opposed to having my photos all over the place and not, you know, I mean, I was getting to the point where I was losing them. I had so many memory sticks laying around. So it feels really good to be at this point and know where they all are.
As always, thank you, Fastlaners, for listening to us. As always, Fastlaners, thank you for listening.
You two, stop. Don't give me that look.
Let's try this again. Okay, Fastlaners, thank you for listening. And as always, we appreciate your support. Thank you very much. And we will see you next week.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Lawnmower in the Fast Lane. Please join us next week for more Gen X discussion. And don't forget to like us and follow us on your favorite podcast listening channel. You can find us on Twitter at LawnFastPodcast, Instagram at Lawnmower in the Fast Lane Podcast, and Facebook at Lawnmower in the Fast Lane Podcast. We also invite you to email your thoughts and comments and ideas for future topics and ways to improve this podcast at lawnmowerinthefastlane@gmail.com. Until next week, thank you, goodbye.